So let's open this morning with prayer. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And Father, I thank you for my River of Life family. Lord, for friends, Lord, that have gathered together today. Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst. And Lord, that you are here to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us into all truth. And Father, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit today, the teaching of your word today that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In Jesus' name, teach us. Amen. I was thinking about, we used to have a saying we would do, Lord, help me to be a student of your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing in this series. We're talking about man is a body, soul, and spirit. Revelation comes to our spirit. And then from the spirit, it comes to our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. If we remember, the spirit man is on the inside of us, and so it rises up. Revelation comes up. Thoughts come up. Truth come up. As we study God's word, as we read his word, and the spirit speaks to us, it's not something that comes from this way. It comes from this way. Does that make sense? How many's experienced that? Wave your hand at me if you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So this morning, we're going to continue our series, and today I titled it Man's Total Personality. And last week, we looked at James 1:25, and let's read that together this morning. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so we know that the blessing of the Lord is upon us when we follow his word. God doesn't honor disobedience. He will not bless your mess. And so if we keep doing the same stuff over and over again, and we keep saying, God, I need your help. I spent way too much money this week. I don't have money to pay my bills. I need your help, Lord. It's like the Lord's like, really? Really? Tell your neighbor you're smarter than that. So if we follow God's word, that's what I'm talking about. Doing what he asks us to do, he's a God of more than enough. And he's given us wisdom to know how to handle our finances and resources. Amen? And you know what? God can make a little bit stretch a long way when we put God's first. You know, we look at how much we have and we think we can't give. And that's totally opposite. That is entering into the logical part. Remember we talked about when man fell, when he sinned in the garden, he entered, he left the revelation spirit realm of living and came down to the logical. And so our whole lifetime, God's doing this shift to get us back to the position that we were originally in our thinking patterns. So let's go on. The real nature of man's found in the Bible. When we look by faith in the mirror of the Word of God, we see the nature of man. And man is a spirit, soul, and body. Let's read this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. When God sanctifies us, he purifies us, he consecrates us, he puts a special mark upon us. So God is interested in man's total personality, our spirit, soul, and body. And the real nature of man, as I said before, is found in the Bible. So as we read this passage, let me just give you some background. Paul's praying for God's will to be worked out completely in our lives. And he's referring our total personality as body, soul, and spirit. And that is our description. We are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. We have three components, body, soul, and spirit. And so often, so many Christians don't understand this. And it's really not taught that much at salvation. And so having an understanding of how this all works with God's word, like I said, it's been my life study. I'm a soul physician. That is what I do. That is what I study. That is my passion, is to understand how the word of God changes us and rearranges us supernaturally, because it's not a natural work. You know, it happens to us, and then we realize it happened. Right? It's like, wow, I'm different. So last week, I left you with a challenge of what are you going to wear this week? Ask your neighbor, what'd you wear this week? The challenge of what are you going to put on this week? Let's read Ephesians 4:22-24. Regarding your former way of life, you were taught to strip off, cast off your old man, which is being ruined by its deceptive desires, to be renewed in the spirits of your mind, and to clothe yourselves with the new man, which was created according to the likeness of God and in righteousness and true holiness. A few weeks ago, we went back to the book of Genesis, and where God said, let us make man in our image. So our outward appearance, our body, is made in the image of God. That's why Jesus didn't come as a horse or a bug, an insect. He came as a man. Because we're made in the image of God. When you look in the mirror, you see an image, right? The scripture says we're made in the image of God. So in some way, God is spirit, but yet he must have an image similar to ours. Because we're made in his image. And then we're made in God's likeness. The likeness refers to our inner nature. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he's three in one, just like us. We're made in his likeness, the three in one. The old man, the passage says, is being ruined by deceptive desires. It is deceptive desires that will ruin your life. It's not what you think it is or hoped it would be after you get to that destination that the enemy's been luring you into. It's deceptive desires. You know, and God knows that no good resides in man's flesh. Man's flesh is completely beyond repair. Let's go to our next scripture. Romans 7:18. Let's read it for ourselves from the word. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. Now, there are some basic things that we need to understand about our flesh. Number one, God cannot alter our flesh. It remains corrupt in both those who are born again and those who are not born again. So the flesh is not transformed in our new birth. It remains as it is. And see, this is, I learned this years and years ago, and you've heard me share this story. Leonard and I oversaw all the prayer ministry and all the baptisms in the church that he was a head elder in. And people would come up from being baptized, washed in the blood, and they would swear. And it would just shock me. I mean, to me, it was shocking. I grew up around folks in church, and so I didn't hear many cuss words, okay? But it just shows that that old man, that flesh, it didn't get transformed. What happened when we get born again and we get a new life, our spirit comes to life. Our spirit is dead. Remember, we're three in one. Our spirit is dead. It cannot receive anything from God. And so the main thing that God wants to do is to get us to that place where we can be born again by the Spirit of the living God. And then His life comes into our spirit. And that happens like that. How long did it take you when you prayed and the Lord forgave your sins? Just like that, wasn't it? It was just like that. God forgave my sins. And I felt good about that because it felt like this load just lifted off of me. You know, and I think I was in the third grade, maybe. But it just felt so good to have that life of God on the inside of me. But even though that happened many, many years ago, my whole life, I've been dealing with my soul. Because the forgiveness of sin, resurrection life, comes into you immediately. It's an immediate work. But we spend a lifetime learning to deny ourselves, to take up the cross of Jesus Christ, and follow Him. We see that modeled to us in Jesus' life. He spent His life on this earth denying Himself. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. He spent His life denying Himself. So the main thing to remember, God cannot alter our flesh. It remains corrupt our whole life. You see, God doesn't impart life to the flesh. He doesn't educate our flesh. But what He does do, His Word teaches us how to overcome the flesh. Right? We're overcomers, right? We're more than conquerors. More than anything, we need to conquer our flesh. So our fleshly life is from our parents. Our spirit life is from our Heavenly Father. That which is flesh, let's go to the next scripture. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Spirit enters our spirit and restores it to the original position. Are you catching this? Okay, so we're born again, sins forgiven in an instant, but it's a journey. Tell your neighbor, I'm on a journey. And God is renewing my soul. He's renewing my mind. There are Greek words that are used in the New Testament for spirit. Pneuma is the word used for spirit. It means wind or breath. pneumatic. Do you remember when God formed Adam from the earth? He breathed into him and he became a living soul. God breathed his breath. The breath of God came into Adam and he became a living soul. The Greek word for soul is psyche. And the Greek word for body is soma. That is where we get our English word psychosomatic. It combines the soul and the body. In the English language, unregenerated men have a lot of words that begin with psycho. Is that true? The Greeks were just taken up with the soul. Everything revolves around the soul. You see, when you're an unregenerated person, you don't have the mind of the spirit. There's very little in the Greek culture and in the teachings about the spirit, because they were focused on the soul. Because when you are not born again, you're not aware of the spirit. But you're very aware of your soul because your soul rules you. Your soul and your body are the flesh, and they'll take sovereign control over you. And that's the state we were in until Jesus came and made a way for us to be born again. So once again, what's our next slide? To be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Is there a scripture? Go to the next slide. Romans. Okay, I'm just going to probably have to, I don't know what happened to my passage in Ephesians. Did we read that at the beginning? Oh, yeah. Ephesians 4:22-24. Thanks. This is where this next slide is going to talk about. The concepts of being renewed in the spirit of our mind. If we remember, our soul is what? Our mind, will, and emotions. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. In the book of Ephesians, we're told that we're to put off that old man, strip it off. It's ruining us. It has deceptive desires that are just going to cause destruction in our life. But we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that is how we clothe ourselves with the new man. That is how we grow in our spirit, is by renewing our minds. Okay, so we can go back to where we were. Yes, renewed in the spirit of the mind. Mind is the Greek word that stands for the intellect, understanding, thought, feeling, or will. You pronounce it in the Greek as a nous. And I've often thought we can hang ourselves with our mind. Is that right? The word for it is nous. What God is saying when he's going to renew us is he's going to remove the faulty, defective thinking and replace it with new and improved thoughts. And as I've studied this, my analogy of it is, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. I'm not the same. Everything is changed because of Christ. Let's go to the next slide. We're at Romans 8:6. Let's read it together. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to live under the influence of the carnal mind and human nature is death. The death that we receive is the death to our souls. Jesus came so that we would have life, and life more abundantly. He wants our souls to prosper. He wants us to grow in truth. He's not coming back for an immature bride. We talked about this a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. What kind of church do you think God's coming back for? Well, the scripture says it's a mature church, a glorious church. It's not a crippled, broken down, don't know where they're going, don't know their identity church. It is a church who knows their identity is in Jesus Christ, and they're walking in the truth that God is releasing to His church, because we're in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying to us, because together we are the church. That's why we're here this morning, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, because God is preparing His bride. He's getting us ready, because He is coming for a glorious church. So to be carnally minded, it's death. It'll stop the work of God in your life. God working in your life and the carnal mind, it does not mix. Let's go to the next scripture. The battle is fought in the spirit with spiritual weapons. And we've taught on this many times, but I want to focus in a little different way this morning. So let's read this passage together. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, in the Vines dictionary, the definition for stronghold is those things in which human confidence is imposed. In other words, it is where we think we can do it ourselves. It's where we think we can figure this out. We're smart enough for that. A stronghold is, it's a fortified place. And you know what? People will defend their stronghold. It can be contrary to the word of God, but they'll defend it. Have you ever been there? Met people that are there? They'll defend their stronghold because it is fortified. It's been set up, and they actively defend it. And since it's actively defended, then it has to be thrown down. And the only thing that can destroy it and throw it down is revelation and understanding from the Word of God. Because God's Word is sharp. It's powerful. It comes in and it divides between the soul and the spirit. And it cuts away what needs to be cut. He circumcises our heart with His word, and He takes away what is not from Him. The hardness of our heart, the stubbornness, God begins to work on us. Are you being worked on? I mean, God just keeps working on me. I'm like, yeah, thank you, Lord. That's right, Terry. We don't want Him to give up on us, right? And when He's done working on us, we'll be going home. I have a few more prophecies and things to do before I do that. So I'm probably not going to get to answer this question completely, and we're on a journey, right? We're learning about the body, soul, and spirit, and how to possess our soul, and how God has put us together according to His Word, not according to what psychology tells us, but what the Bible tells us. But Leslie sent me a question, and I appreciate questions. If you have a question and you'd like me to touch on that subject regarding the body, soul, and spirit, the mind, just, you know, go ahead, text it to me, email it to me. You got to write it down. You can't just tell me when you're walking by me, okay? My short-term memory, it's like something gets bumped, right? Have you ever had that happen? And like 3 days later, you're like, ah, I didn't take care of that. But anyway, her question was, so if God's spirit is at work in us saving our soul, but we are in that constant battle between letting the spirit and the flesh control our decisions, is our soul redeemed at the time of our death because we believed? And that's a really good question. So just to begin to touch on that, the scriptures use the word flesh to describe man's corrupt nature or life, which embraces the soul and the body. And like I said, before we're born again, before we've given our heart to Jesus, we live from our soul. In God's creative act, God placed our soul between the spirit and the body. So it is between the heavenly spiritual and the earthly physical. Our soul is the pivotal point. If we're listening to the Spirit of God, then our body's going to do what the Spirit says. If we're listening to our body, and our body has desires, our soul has desires, if we allow our soul to get combined up and mixed up with that, then we're going to sin. We're going to do something contrary to God's will, and doing something contrary to God's will is sin. Bible says if you know to do good and you don't do it, to you it's sin. So the soul will easily yield to temptation, and most of the time from physical organs. Our body gets stimulated, and we allow it to overrule us and overtake us, and we embrace that instead of bringing our body under control. A great example of that would be the very first sin in the Garden of Eden was wanting to eat something you're not supposed to eat. Woohoo! Imagine that. We all know that temptation, right? Mm-hmm. Have to keep telling that thing no. You see, the without the Spirit of God, the flesh is totally devoid of the Spirit. It takes the soul, the Spirit, the soul together, working together to control this body. There's two things that can happen. One is rebelling against God and breaking God's law. And we'll talk a little bit later about the other. The other is performing what's good, but you're really not obeying God. So it looks good, but it's not God. Makes it just as wrong as if you're sinning. And we don't think about that most of the time because it was good. I did a good thing. But we'll talk about that later. But back to the old man and Ken, you know, what happens with these carnal desires. We know that life before salvation, once again, we were ruined by the old man. And we know Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So before we were born again, sin reigned in us. And our flesh had sovereign rule over us. So if you're born again, that's not the case anymore. Because that sin was taken care of once and for all at the cross. So sin doesn't have that rule over us anymore. If we live with the mindset thinking sin has rule over us, then we are terribly wrong. Because when we were born again by the Spirit of God and we went to the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. That was taken care of. Tell your neighbor, it was taken care of. We were never asked to crucify our sins. No, we were asked to crucify our flesh. Jesus took care of our sins. See, we can live with this mindset that, oh, I'm just a sinner. Oh, I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. If you've come to the cross of Jesus Christ, God has delivered your soul from the curse and the law of sin and death. You're free. And we should live free. Not thinking that we're a worm and I'm just a sinner. You know, have you ever heard people say that? Oh, I'm just a worm. My goodness. We need some help with renewing our minds. Hallelujah. So let's read Romans 6, 16 through 19. How are we doing for time? 5 minutes. Okay, Romans 6, 16 through 19. Let's read it together. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Sin no longer has sovereign rule over a born-again person. I'm a slave of righteousness. Had a professor that would always say, choose your slavery. Choose your slavery. I want to be a slave of righteousness. Hallelujah. How about you? I'm no longer a slave to fear. So life at salvation, in the moment our sins are forgiven and our spirit is regenerated, we are made alive in Jesus Christ. It is instant. We're alive. Ephesians 2:5. Let's read it. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So God sent Jesus Christ to cause us to be made alive again. It's our choice to come to the Lord. We decide. He calls us. But you can say no. But when he calls you, you know he's tugging on your heart. And he doesn't just do it once. He doesn't give up. Don't give up on people who you know have refused God, because they will come. God doesn't give up on them. He keeps calling them. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter the mess that they're in. God is still calling them. God's not willing any of us should perish. He wants all of us to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So even when we were dead in trespasses, before we were ever even born, God sent his son to die for our sins. By grace, you're saved. It's not by works you've done. And this is where we can get into the righteous works, or what we think are good works, and we're saving ourselves, we think, and we're making ourselves feel very proud of ourselves, hallelujah, because we did so good. But let's go on. There's just a couple more things, and then we'll, just two more things. 1 Corinthians 3:1 through 3. We're going to talk about the worldly carnal Christian. There are Christians who have had that born again experience that are still acting like the world. I'm not saying God's happy with that. The Apostle Paul was not happy with that. We're going to look at a couple different passages, one this week, one next week. That Paul wanted them to grow up. Because you see, that soul life, remember, is self. It's I feel, I want, I will. I feel, I want, I will. You say those words? Makes me very conscious when I say, I want, I really want. Well, I might really want that. But is that really good for me? I might feel that. You know, people are so caught up with their feelings. I feel like I need to have such and such, or I want to be just like so and so. And it's not fair because they got this and I didn't get that. And I... Jesus, help us. So we need to check ourselves when we hear ourselves saying those words. And the I will, you know, when you're saying I will and you're coming into agreement with what God's asking you to do, doing something kind, you know, living the fruit of the Spirit, I will do that. But when I will is a whole different thing. You know, there's different I wills. I will get you. That's not good. I will pay you back for that. Okay. So there are Christians who act just like the world. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. We're just going to cover this quick. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Let's read it. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready yet for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? You know, Paul was a little ticked off, I think. If I remember right, he'd been away from this group for about 3 years. And he comes back and here they are. Still a bunch of babies. The worldly Christians behave like a natural person. But the truth is they don't have to. You see, the problem isn't their age, but the problem is your attitude. God wants to make a spiritual, but they have jealousy and division, and they're acting like the world. That's why the light doesn't shine from the church, when so many Christians are acting just like the world. We're to be set apart. We're to be different. We're the city set on a hill. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're to be different. We're to be peculiar. We're a peculiar people set aside for the glory of God. We're not supposed to be like the world. But you see how this has watered everything down? It is letting down, watering down the word of God. And so the church comes into agreement with the world, and the church should be the spiritual force in the world. And when churches do that, denominations do that, they just open that gate of hell even wider for that demonic influence, because the church should be setting the standard, not lowering the standard. Jesus, help us. So a saved person can act just like a lost person. Sometimes you scratch your head. It's not up to us to decide whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. We can't put anyone in heaven. We can't put anyone in hell. Although sometimes we want to send people to hell. Hallelujah. We can't do that. That's something of our soul, you know. That's up to the Lord. I'll just tell myself, I'm not touching that. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going there. Because that is not my decision. Because we really don't know everything else that's connected to that person. Who can know the heart of man? Who can know the heart of man? Was the question. The answer was, above all things, it's deceitfully wicked. So my own wicked heart might be judging something inappropriately, right? In that moment, that is not the heart of God. Is that right? That's not the heart of God. God is going to judge something righteously. Amen? He's the righteous judge. So on again, last scripture. I'm going to leave that there, and I'm going to ask praise team to come. And I wanted to share this scripture, John 1, 12 through 13, in closing. This is a good thought to go home with. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We have been born of God. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that he's the Son of God and that he has risen again, then you will be saved, the scripture says. And we've been adopted. I like that. I'm adopted. Adoption is nothing to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. We're all adopted. We were all orphans. We needed to be adopted. And it was because of the will of God that I was born again. It's because he wanted you to be born again. He was drawing you to himself to be born again by his Spirit. And so we don't have to act like the world. We can yield to the Spirit of God. And when we do, something is going to move and something is going to change. And we're going to see God's presence in our life, in our situations, in our family's life, in our children's life. Let's stand today. We're going to sing this song, Heaven on Earth. This morning I was in prayer and that song came up on my playlist and started playing, and I said, Lord, we are going to sing that today, declare that today, heaven on earth. Amen. Yeah. Something's moving. Something's changing. We're ready, Angela.